Well, it is a joy today to celebrate all of you mothers, as we have said already, to express our love to you, our appreciation for all that you do and all that you are. And one of the things that we know about the Bible is that it's filled with women who teach us, women who shaped history, women who serve God in so many, many capacities. I don't think it could be overstated to mention the important and high role that women play in Holy Scripture. And we could literally do a sermon series that would take us years to finish if we were to go through and mention and examine and study every woman in the Scripture. And I think that's something to say. That's something to be said for the Christian faith and biblical Christianity. And today's lesson, we learn from a mother-to-be, a mother who has yet to conceive, but who would conceive in very short time. And we learn from her, that is Hannah, the true spirit of Christian prayer. And that's the lesson that I want us to try to learn from this mother-to-be today, the true spirit of Christian prayer. For Hannah was, in fact, a praying mother. The Scripture tells us that Hannah, as we meet her here in 1 Samuel 1, was very sad. She was a woman who had a heavy burden to carry in life. She was weighed down with anguish and grief, and that the source of that grief was due to the fact that she was unable to have a child. And this was always a source of grief for women in the Old Testament, because every woman in ancient Israel hoped that she would be the mother of the promised Messiah. And so whenever a woman was unable to give birth and bear a child, that hope, that longing that every Jewish woman had to be the mother of the promised Savior of Israel vanished. And so it always became a source of grief and anguish for women, and that's where we find Hannah. But not only was Hannah grieved because of her barrenness, but her grief was doubled in the story because her husband had another wife. See, in the Old Testament, at least in this phase of the Old Testament, there was yet the practice of polygamy. Sometimes we run into men who had more than one wife, and Hannah's husband was certainly one of them. Now, today, under the new covenant, I would say that practice is neither right nor safe. We don't recommend that to anyone any longer, as we know that through Moses and through the Ten Commandments, now we have entered where the biblical marriage is the union of one husband and one wife. And adultery, that is to have more than one partner, is now actually not part of God's plan. But in this phase, prior to this event, this was practiced. And so Hannah has a husband, but her husband has another wife, and her name was Peninnah. And Peninnah, wife number two, was able to bear children, and apparently was able to bear many children, not just one. And Peninnah, we know very little about her, except that she could not have been a very nice person. Was not a very pleasant woman, because the one detail of her life, in addition to the fact that she bore many children, was that she provoked Hannah over this dilemma. Now, what does that mean? That means that Peninnah would make it her practice to scorn Hannah because of her inability to bear children, to make fun of her, to ridicule her, to demean her. Every time she would have a child, and every time she would present a child, it was almost with the saying, "Ha ha, look at my children, too bad you don't even have one." And this scorning, this provoking of Hannah by Peninnah was a source, or a double source, of pain and anguish in Hannah's life. And this cruelty by Peninnah would literally bring Hannah to tears such that she couldn't even eat. She was a woman who knew true grief and hardship. But thank God, that's not all we know about Hannah. There was another side to Hannah that we need to take note of. And that is that holy Hannah knew what to do with her grief. She was, even before she bore her first son, she knew where to go with her grief, and that is, she went to God in prayer with it. She was a praying mother, even before she conceived. She knew who would be willing to help her carry her burden and her sorrow. She knew that. She came to the Lord in prayer, and the scripture tells us that she cast all of her anxiety on the one who cared for her. A mother who prayed. She went up to the temple of the Lord in Shiloh because she knew that was where she would be in the immediate presence of God. Remembering that in the Old Testament, that the temple and the tabernacle, wherever it was located, represented and reflected the immediate presence of God. When you went into or even around the temple or the tabernacle, there you were in God's presence. And Hannah's practice was to go there to the temple and be in the presence of God. And what did she do? She goes to the temple and she prays. That's what Hannah did. She opened her heart to the Lord. She prayed for the impossible to become possible. She prayed that she could have a son, and that if she would bear a son, that she would dedicate him to the service of the Lord. And I think we see now even another glimmer of Hannah's life and character. Her ambition for a child wasn't even for her own gratification, but rather for the purposes of God. And she says to the Lord, if you give me a son, if you give me a child, I'll give him right back to you. He can serve you in the temple. It wasn't even just for Hannah to have a companion or to have a child to grow up with. It was for the purposes of God. And then we notice that Hannah also had this very unique way of praying. This is maybe what she is most known for. Her mouth moved when she prayed, but no words came out. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I have. People think you're crazy when you do that kind of thing. Your mouth moves. Maybe today we would say she spoke under her breath. But her mouth moved, but no words came out. It almost appeared she was talking to herself. And this was so noticeable that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk, that it was nothing more than drunken babble that she was speaking. But this is not the case. This was not the senseless mumble of liquor. It was the fervent prayer of a righteous and holy woman, pouring out her heart to the Lord. And when Eli the priest realized that Hannah was praying with such faith, he blessed her. Blessed her with the shalom, the peace of God. And he prayed that she would receive what she asked for. And the scripture says that when he blessed her like that, her face was no longer downcast. The Lord, through her prayers, through her faith, the Lord removed the burden of this problem from her, and her face brightened. She was no longer carrying that heavy downcast. And eventually, God did answer her prayer, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth not just to a son or any old child, but she gives birth to Samuel. Samuel, God's gift to Hannah. And Samuel would become a prophet of the Lord, a man of God. And it would be Samuel, this amazing prophet of the Lord, who would be the man who would anoint the very first king of Israel, Saul. It would be Samuel. Now we can learn a lot about prayer from this holy mother. The first is the obvious, and that is, look out when a mother prays. Now I'm not sure what this does to my theology, So let me put my theology aside for a moment and speak what I know from experience. I know that God hears all prayers. Anyone that prays, mother, child, father, anyone that prays, the Lord hears. But I believe there is something special about a mother's prayer. There's something special about it. And I say that because of how many people in the Bible, how many were shaped by the prayers of their mother. And not only those of the Bible, but in church history, how many of the holy people of our church, the history of Christianity, have been shaped and formed and preserved by the prayers of their mother. Now, I'm not sure how that works. Do moms have a direct line to heaven? When a mother says, Lord, I'm praying for my child, does that kind of raise in importance over the others? I'm not entirely sure how that works, or even if that's theologically correct, but I will tell you, it seems to be the case. Look out when a mother prays. How many of us can testify to feeling and knowing that we have been preserved, protected, seen through life by the prayers of our moms, in some cases our grandmothers or great-grandmothers? A second thing that we can learn is that if, in fact, any of us have trouble, what should we do? We should bring it to the Lord in prayer. We learn that from Hannah. Don't waste your energy in worry and sadness over the trials of life, but rather pray about your problems. Do you have problems here today? Maybe your problem isn't barrenness and an enemy the way that Hannah had, but all of us have problems, don't we? The kind of problems that, if you think about them long enough, they just might make you cry or cause you to stop eating. Problems that weigh heavy upon us. What do we do with those kinds of problems? Do we let that linger in our stomach, in our mind? Or do we follow the example of Hannah and bring those concerns to the Lord in prayer? Pray about them. Here's a way to think about it. Prayer is the only profitable account in which to deposit your troubles. Anywhere else you deposit your troubles, worry, anxiety, stress, anger, depression, it's a waste of time. It's all a waste. The only profitable place to put your worries is into prayer. Because once you deposit your worries into God's account with prayer, the Lord can turn things around. And He often does, as He did with Hannah. A third thing we can learn is that in prayer, we should learn to expect the unexpected. To believe that God can and will oftentimes do the impossible. We would look at Hannah's case and say, she's unable to bear children. End of story. That's the report. Hannah didn't accept that. Hannah said, no, that's apparently what I'm being told. But she prayed about something that seemed impossible. Lord, even though it appears that I am barren, yet I believe that if only you would touch me, that my womb would be opened and I could bear a son, and that he would be a great man of God. She prayed for the impossible. You know what that teaches all of us is, don't limit God in your prayer as if he were a mere human being. When we pray, don't pray only things that seem safe, right, logical, and possible. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking God to do even that which is impossible. Now, he may not always do that, but if he wants to, he certainly can. And he will often use your prayers, and in particular, the prayers of a mother, to do the impossible. And how we need that. God is a limitless God, and our prayers should reflect his endless capacity. I think that's what Hannah had. A fourth thing that we learn is that if we have true faith, we can rest assured that God will always answer our prayers. Now, don't mishear me on that part. God may not always give us exactly what we want. Here in Hannah's case, that's how it worked out. It very much has a, and they live happily ever after sort of ending. Hannah was without a child. She prays for a child. He gives her that child, and they lived happily ever after. I wish I could tell you that that's how it always works. It's not. I would be lying to you and would not be truthful if I said that that's how it always works. Sometimes we pray for something and we don't get it. Sometimes we ask God for something very specific and he gives us not only what appears to not be that, but sometimes the very opposite. But here's the thing, that no matter what the answer is, God always answers the prayers of the faithful. He may not give you what you want. He may not give you exactly what you asked for, because what we asked for may not be the best thing for us at that time in our life. He knows that. God knows the timing of our life. He knows our needs. He knows things about us and our future we don't even know. So we can't always get what we want because our prayers are always ill-informed. And so, but the thing is, he will always answer your prayer in some way. He will either say to us, yes, or no, or slow. Yes, you get it, like Hannah did. No, you're not going to get that. Or, yes, but it's going to take a while. Yes, no, or slow. All your prayers will be answered in one of those three ways if you pray with a believing heart. And whatever that answer is that he gives to you, that's the best answer. Don't be discouraged, but trust in the Lord. Even when God does not fulfill your requests, he's answering your prayers and doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Hannah learned that. She trusted the Lord with the outcome of her life. And so, what do we summarize from all of this? That we could all learn to have more faith and to be fervent people of prayer like Hannah. Faith to seek the help of God. Faith to trust him with all things. Faith to wait patiently for him, even when we are struggling deep within our heart. Faith to give him our very best, even when our lives are kind of tough. To draw near to him, even when he feels and appears a little distant from us. To devote ourselves to serving him, like Hannah did. And to present our bodies as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service, says the New Testament. This is how Hannah prayed. This is Holy Hannah, as we know her today. She was, from start to finish, a praying mother. A mother who knew God and interceded for her children and prayed for them. May we all today on Mother's Day learn from her example, and let us today, whatever our burdens are, whatever our cares and distresses are, let us today in this house of the Lord, at this Shiloh, that is in the New Testament tabernacle, which is the gathering of his people, the church, may we today, like Hannah, cast all our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us, said the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for us.